Sheriff, this is no time to panic.
This is the perfect time to panic!
I'm Steve Vinson.
And I'm Paul Schultz.
And this is the Don't Panic Radio Show. Sit back, relax, and ignore the news, because nothing you're about to hear is true. Welcome to the show. We got another good one for you this week, we hope.
There's always hope when there's water and soap.
There's always hope when there's water and soap. The main thing this week is that we have been talking a lot about our other projects.
Mm-hmm.
And we just had about an hour and a half discussion about our other projects. And so we are committed, no matter how many different projects we have, we are committed to making the Don't Panic Radio Show the best show that you will hear today, right now, between now
and when it's over.
When it's over.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's our commitment to you.
That's our commitment to you. So the few things we're going to talk about today, we're going to go through a little bit of Steve oversleeping at the at the most inconvenient time possible. Then we're also going to discuss a visit to the United States by some guys from Scotland. And I have a couple of funny stories to tell about that. And Paul is trying to get me to watch Luke Cage.
Yes. Season 2 is coming up fast.
Season 2 is coming up fast, so I got a binge watch. If I can keep myself from binge drinking, I could probably binge watch.
Just swap binges. It's a binge swap.
What word over the last decade has had a better rehabilitation than the word binge?
You know, that's true.
It went from being like one of the worst possible things to being like, oh, it's not so bad. Binge watching's not a bad thing. You can binge listen to a podcast. You can binge watch a show. And nobody talks about binge drinking anymore.
Or binge eating. I think that's just drinking now anymore.
We had a little league coach. His name was Bill Benge. When I first started hearing the word binge drinking, I thought people were saying binge drinking. I was like, yeah, he always did seem like he was a little too and either relaxed or intense, depending
on his choice of alcohol.
Yeah, right. Okay. So we're still in the jibber jabber phase. How was your week?
Productive.
Yeah, what'd you do?
A lot of stuff for our other project.
I hear you, man. As you all know, the other project is the Life Science Effect.
That's right.
And I've been talking. So speaking of the Life Science Effect, here's what happened the other day. And it's starting to feel like an excuse.
Mm-hmm.
But as an introvert, and I'm not about labels, but I fit all the classic definitions of introvert.
Mm-hmm.
And people go, well, how are you an introvert? You do nothing but talk. And what people don't realize is an introvert isn't someone who doesn't socialize. An introvert is someone who it takes a lot of energy to socialize.
Yes.
An extrovert gets energy from socializing.
Mm-hmm.
An introvert gets energy from sitting on his ass, playing video games or watching TV.
It's almost like our batteries have to, it takes like three times as long for our batteries to charge up after, like, you know, spending time at like a social engagement. We'll spend like an hour here, but we'll go 3 hours at home on the couch.
Right. So it takes a lot of energy at the engagement. It also takes a lot of energy leading up to the thing. Mm-hmm. So what I've discovered with the Life Science Effect, which is a podcast where it's an interview show, mm-hmm. and I'm interviewing people who I normally don't talk to, but spend a lot of time thinking about how I should be talking to them. So that's not a bad way to put it. Like my entire career, I'm like, I should be talking to VPs, and if I could talk to CEOs, that'd be awesome. Presidents, like high, you know, muckety mucks in my industry, right? But I spend as much time as I can getting gigs in my consulting business by not talking to those guys as much as possible. Because it takes a lot of energy. Now, here's the thing about that is, and you and I have had long messenger conversations whenever I start a new project.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I always hate that phase because it takes, it's a lot of meeting new people. It's a lot of figuring out new relationships. And so, it's exhausting and I hate it because I feel like an idiot.
It's like freshman year all over again.
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, it lasts for a finite period of time, mm-hmm. right? And then I get used to it. Then I'm like, oh, I'm bored now. I want to go experience that thing again. Well, so
chasing the dragon.
Chasing the dragon. Exactly. Although it takes a. Okay. I won't go there. choking the dragon. So this interviewing these muckety mucks, takes that same kind of energy. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. It's I'm going to say the wrong thing. I'm going to sound like an idiot. But my hope is the more I do it, the easier it'll get. So, oh, I know where I was going with that. So a few days ago, I was telling you that when I first started the new podcast, there was this guy who I thought, if I can get that guy, that'll be, that's the kind of guy I want to get. Right.
Right.
And, but there's no way I'm going to get him. He's too inaccessible to me.
I remember that message.
Yeah. And then, so I went out and I got him. Right. And he was my probably seventh interview or so. And so I got him in the morning, in the afternoon. And then I go home exhausted. I get up the next morning, and first thing in the morning, I do three more interviews of these guys from Scotland. And I'll tell you a little bit more about them in a little bit and how that ended up being a thing where I'm interviewing these guys from Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all, they're either like startup founders, like entrepreneurs or CEOs of companies or whatever. So I do those one right after the other. And it was funny because there's a little coffee shop and I was taking them into a conference room, doing the interview. And I'd go out and get the next one, bring him in, do the interview, take him back out, get the next one. I was like, it was just comical because after the first one, I bring him back out and I go, you guys might want to get his interview right now because after what we just did, he's going to be famous. I'm going to make him famous. So yeah, I did that. So that was, and then that was Wednesday. And then I went and did, a normal day's work, whatever that's like for me, right? Consulting, meetings, emails, talking to people, all that really hard stuff. And so my wife has pool on Wednesday nights. So I'm in charge of the kids, right? I come home. My daughter's at choir practice. I am to pick her up at 8. So I'm home with my younger daughter My older daughter is at choir practice. I am to pick her up at 8. She's about 20 to 25 minutes away. I can't hold my eyes open. My younger daughter wants to watch a movie with me. And I said, okay, we'll watch a movie. But I'm going to set my phone up. I'm going to set an alarm on my phone for 35 minutes before I'm supposed to pick her up. Because I know it's 20 to 25. I'll get up, clear the sleepy sand out of my eyes, go pick her up, right? So that was nice. That was a pretty good idea. It was an excellent idea, actually. The evening progresses. I somehow am jarred awake, and I have no idea what time it is, but I have a feeling that it's not a time that I'm going to be happy about. So I go, I clear the sleepy sand out of my eyes, I try to recombobulate, figure out how the world works again.
Yeah, combobulating is one thing, man, but recombobulating.
Once you get uncombobulated, getting recombobulated, I mean, if you're starting from scratch, right, and your job is to combobulate, no problem. Once you get combobulated, if somebody uncombobulates you or something uncombobulates you, getting recombobulated is nearly impossible. I've said that so many times now, I don't remember what the actual word is. Is it discombobulated?
Yes, discombobulation.
Okay, got it. Yeah. So I realize I better check what time it is. And like everybody else my age, the way I check what time it is I go get my phone. Because I don't wear a watch. I just check my phone. So I go and I get my phone and I pick it up. And there are like 8 or 10 missed calls and like 8 or 10 text messages. And that's how I knew it was probably already after 8 o'clock. So these were all calls from my stranded daughter and my incensed wife. So now you're in that situation. I'm in that situation where I got to decide, what do I do?
I don't have a time machine. I can't go back and fix things.
It'd be nice. There are so many times in my life that a time machine would have been really handy. I think there was only one other time that I overslept in such a way that things were just so messed up. There was no way out of it. This was one of those two times. I'll tell you a story about the other one in a second. Let me finish this story first. So I call my wife. I said, I overslept. I just woke up. I don't know what to do. She said, and then I look at my phone and my daughter's trying to call me. I said, she's trying to call me. Hang on. So I get on the phone with her. She said, well, my friend's mom is here and she's going to bring me home. You can just pick me up from her house, which is only 2 miles away from where I live. And I said, perfect. That's what we're going to do. So I went down there, picked her up. Everything was great. Talking to my younger daughter, I said, I don't understand what happened. I set an alarm and everything. And she goes, oh, is that what that was for? He said, I didn't know what that was for, so I just turned it off.
Wow. Well, hey, you know, the bright side is, you know, it's not on you now.
So. Yeah, that's pretty tricky. That's pretty tricky. Pretty tricky path to walk down. It's like, do you want to throw your 10-year-old under the bus, or do you just want to take responsibility for what happened?
That bus is looking pretty, pretty appealing.
So that's one of the benefits of Facebook, though. Because I didn't even have to vague book. I just put it out there. I put out there what happened. Right? And I hashtagged dad of the year.
Yeah, I love that feeling where you fuck up and you it doesn't matter. It's like the story of, you know, you could be the most benevolent king ever in this kingdom. He, you know, you ruled fair and just, and there's sonnets about you and all kinds of stuff, and then you hang the wrong guy one time. So everything you've done in the past, as far as being, you know, you were there for their first steps. You know, you're helping them with their homework. You're holding them while they're sick. You missed picking them up the one fucking time. And none of that means anything anymore. You got to start all over again.
I like that you picked the king hanging the wrong guy one time instead of the farmer.
Yeah.
The story about the farmer and the pig. All right. So I got I got a little bit of support on Facebook from the, I did get the, maybe you should set an alarm.
Oh yeah.
I love the people that come up with the great ideas. It's like the people when you're like, does anybody know of a good tire to put on a thing? It's a relatively inexpensive. Oh, well, here's what Google says. It's like, oh, thank you. I didn't realize Google was an option.
Captain Obvious. Yeah.
So the other time, I did not have a nervous breakdown over this because I was just like, it's not like she's going to get kidnapped.
Yeah.
You know?
You're good.
The other time was I was starting a new project in a new town. Out in New Jersey, and there was a meeting to kick off the project the next morning. And I worked for a company that was pretty much just a little bit right of Hitler. And I hated these guys. I don't know why I stayed there so long. But anyway, you mess up just a little bit. And one time I was like 3 minutes late to a meeting because I had a very urgent call to nature.
Anytime you use the word urgent, I automatically assume
it's a call to nature.
Yes.
But I got a talking to, and I was like, well, I had a very urgent call to nature. He's like, well, you know, you should plan better. I'm like, the reason they call it urgent is because planning doesn't, it's kind of like my friend Mark's memorial service. They were trying to get the caterer, and the caterer's going, well, this is kind of short notice. And they're like,
your business is about short notice.
Most memorial services are pretty short notice.
Yeah, you get like 48 hours at best.
It's like he did commit suicide, but he didn't give us a heads up. There were indications, right? And we all knew it was a possibility. He did not give us a date and time. Had he given us a date and time, we probably wouldn't be talking right now.
I just want to know what it's like to have that much control over my body that I can schedule when I have to poop. You know,
that'd be awesome.
It'd be like, I gotta schedule a poop in here between 8:35 and 8:40. You know, but unfortunately that's a.m. to p.m. because it's gonna be a big one. one of those like guys that live on the mountainsides, you know, and eat yogurt and meditate. You know, you can feel it moving through your body. It'll be about 8:30. Okay, so we'll write that in.
Put it on Outlook.
Yeah.
The reminder pops up. Oh, I forgot I had to go take a crap. It's a good thing I have this reminder. I might have pooped my pants.
It's like when your kid's just sitting there, you know, like watching TV or whatever, calm as a sea. And then suddenly, dramatically, violently, they get up and run because it's like, I got to go to the bathroom. It's like, you didn't feel that creeping up on you?
They haven't learned to interpret the signals.
That's
all right,
right.
So I'm at this new project. I'm in a hotel, right? And I go to bed the night before with it on my mind. You know how it is. You got something to do the next day. You're thinking about it. And I'm restless all night thinking about not wanting to oversleep. And so when my alarm goes off, I got to fumble with the clock because it's a hotel room. Mm-hmm. And this is before phones, right? Before smartphones, yeah. Right, everybody? Just so you know that. And so I'm fumbling with the clock, and it's going off, and I'm just like, can't get my bearings and everything. So several times this happens. Finally, it hits me. I got this meeting. I got to get in there for this meeting, and the meeting was to start at like 9 o'clock. So I jump out of bed. I look at the clock, and it's 10:30. And I'm freaking out. I don't know what to do. Right. So it's the only near nervous breakdown I've ever had. I was like Silkwood in the shower. Right. I'm just like shaking. I'm just like my hands on my face. Like I just won the Miss USA pageant, you know,
you're doing the thing.
I'm scrubbing, like, I can't get clean. So I go to the phone. There was a phone in the room. I call the plant site, and I say to the guy, like my contact, I said, I am so sorry. I'm sick. I don't know what happened. Maybe, you know, I'm out of town, the water. I don't know what's going on, but I'm sick. Sorry I'm not at the meeting or going to be at the meeting, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of quiet. He's like, okay, it's fine. He's like, but I'll reschedule it and I'll be in later. I'm sorry I missed it. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. That's taken care of, right? So then I fumble around the room some more. I find my watch and it's 7:30. I'm like, wait a minute. It was 10:30. So I figure out that all that fumbling with the clock, I reset the clock 3 hours ahead of the actual time. So it wasn't 10:30, it was 7:30, and I still had like an hour and a half to get to the meeting, and I'm telling this guy, I'm sorry I missed the meeting. And he's like, what? Okay. He must really be sick. He thinks it's 10:30.
Yeah, he's delirious.
He's delirious. So that was a funny story.
So did you make the meeting, or did you just go, wait a minute, now I got time off now.
Well, I was like, hey, I'm in New Jersey, I'm this close to New York City. Everybody thinks I'm sick. What the heck? I work for a bunch of Nazis. One of the organizations that is helping out with the new podcast and, you know, in general in this area in central Indiana in life sciences is this organization called the Indiana Health Industry Forum. So I've got a pretty good relationship with the person that heads that up.
Mm-hmm.
And she was telling me they have a partnership with this organization called the Scottish Life Science Association, and that they were coming over this week for a visit. They were going to visit a few different companies and like trade some ideas and that kind of thing. And I said, hey, think they want to be on my podcast? And she's like, probably. All right. I'd love to meet them. So, so they came in on Monday, and my friend Peter, who is from the UK, had a brilliant idea. Like he calls me up like last week and says, do you have a plan for these Scottish guys? I said, not really. I thought I might just put a microphone in the middle of the table and see what happens. And he says, well, I have an idea. And so he told me his idea, and I immediately agreed. And you'll see why in a second. So these guys show up, and mm-hmm. like I said, in this area where we work, there's a little coffee shop. So we meet them in the coffee shop area. This is like 3:30 Monday afternoon, and they all buy coffee, and then it's like, okay, come to the conference room. And I had already set up in the conference room. The acoustics were terrible, and I decided not to record.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you mentioned that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, this would be terrible. And there was like a loud vent fan or something. And so I decided this will be a bad idea. Mm-hmm. So we'll just sit here and get to know these guys and chat, right? So we get there, we sit out, a little bit of small talk, and I go, okay, I brought you guys a little surprise. And I take out these two little coolers, and I pull out, I said, okay, this one is a great example of an American pale ale made at a brewery that's only a few miles from my house. And they all just, they look at me, and it's like, it's quiet. And then I go, this other one, I get the other cooler, and I was like, these are an American lager made like less than a mile from the racetrack where they raced the Indianapolis 500. And it's just, and I just pass them out. I start sliding them across the table. It's like, oh, this is great. You know, that I'm thinking it's great. They're just kind of looking at me, and I'm thinking, I crack one open, and they look at me, and they're like, this is okay. It's like,
that's how we do things over here.
It's like, I'm drinking one, and they're like, and one of them is like, well, I can't do accents unless it's a Southern accent, but in his deep Scottish brogue, he's like, well, I'd never let a man drink by himself. And now we are all drinking. We're all drinking beers in the conference room, and we got along famously. It was just great. And so we had great conversation. We talked a little bit of business. We talked a lot of the difference between America and Scotland and uh-huh. the UK and Brexit and Trump. And it was fun. And so then I said, hey, can you guys come back in a couple of days and we'll do some one-on-one interviews. There's a better conference room for recording. I have some better equipment. We'll do that. And they're like, oh yeah, that'll be great. And so I did that a couple of days later. And we'll, you'll hear those episodes in a few weeks.
That's crazy.
We'll be right back.
Meet Sugar. She's beautiful. In chains. And she's busting out, shackled to the steamy cane fields of a tropical inferno, with a whirlpool of women that plunges you into the depths of desire. They're women, they're warm, they're wildcats. Meet the doctor who satisfied his vile gluttony on the bodies of the innocent.
It's only because you don't understand how far my proposal extends.
Oh, I can see how far it extends.
Cane wasn't all she raised. The searing sting of the whip burned a brand of hate into her heart. Their world a plantation. Their battleground a tropical inferno. She can cut any man down to size. Warm hands, cold trigger, blazing death. An epidemic of machine gun madness. 38 caliber kippers spitting death as they claw their way to freedom. Nothing can hold her. Not chains, not bars or men. Sweet Sugar.
Feeling a life science effect. A couple days ago, I was working on some of the audio for it. And I messed up and closed out the wrong window or something. And, you know, when you're working, you talk to yourself while you're working.
Yes,
I'm clicking along and I'm like, ah, dumbass. And I went back and I started setting it up again. And something moved out of the corner of my eye and I look and my son is standing there. I'm like, what? He goes, did you call me?
Not exactly.
we laughed so hard. I'm like, okay. Felt like Red Foreman.
I was thinking that the entire first half of the show was about, well, no, not the entire first. What it kind of was. I kind of made it all about the other show.
Well, and it was inevitable. I mean, it's bound to happen.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
So anybody who doesn't know what inevitable means, I just explained it to them.
That's good. This is a show that we want to make sure we bring everybody along.
That's right.
We don't want to, no ignoramus left behind. But it gives the listeners a little insight as to what's going on, in our lives, in our professional lives, in addition to our fake lives.
That's right. Otherwise known as our Facebook lives.
Yeah.
Not to be concerned with Facebook Live, again, audience, clearing that up.
So there are several things that motivate a man, mm-hmm. right? Mainly sex is, until you're about 35, like, there's only one thing. and it's getting someone from the opposite sex to sleep with you.
Wait, 35?
Unless you're homosexual, this to get somebody from this. But the problem is, okay, look, all right, this is one of those times, if you like to listen with your kids and you don't want them being exposed to a lot of nonsense, now would be a good time to have them go wash the dishes or something. All right. Homosexuals don't realize how good they have it. Now, I get they're persecuted, and I get that. And I do not want to demean the struggle and the suffering that they have to put up with, right? And I'm not saying this makes up for it. But when it comes to getting sex, they tend to have it a little bit easier than heterosexuals, especially the men, right? Because what you got, if you're a homosexual man, you are a homosexual man looking for somebody to have sex with. The person you're looking to have sex with is another man who likes to have sex. Men, all they want to do is have sex. So if you've got a bunch of men looking for a bunch of other men, it's bound to be easy, right?
That seems logical.
It seems logical, but like a lot of things, it's probably not. My point is, one of the things that motivates a man is he wants to take care of his family.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants his family to be comfortable, safe, well-fed, well-groomed.
Picked up from soccer practice at the right time.
Picked up from choir practice at
or
the right
choir
time.
Choir practice.
And there are times when a man falls short. And this other podcast that we've got going is a way of trying to provide for the family. So it's a very important part of my life right now.
You don't have to justify it.
I don't?
No.
All right. Well, you can erase the last 10 minutes then. Welcome back to the show. We got another black superhero we want to talk about. I described us to somebody, my Peter, the guy I work with from the UK, just today discovered Don't Panic Radio Show, even though I could swear I told him about it before, but he was on iTunes searching for the other one, and he just put my name in, and Don't Panic came up, which is good. That's good to know. If you search for Vincent, Don't Panic comes up. One of the tragedies is we still don't have very many reviews, but I will tell you this. I said, we enjoy doing the show. We've been doing it for 4 years. I forget. So we moved, the conversation moved on, uh-huh. and somehow African-Americans came up. Oh, I know what it was. We were talking about the culture, the difference in culture between Scotland and Indiana. And uh-huh. the Scottish guys were talking about how nice people are in Scotland. And they said, so we feel very comfortable here because people here are nice. And he said, in Scotland, I said, when you say nice, what do you mean nice? He said, well, in Scotland, people are very nice. They will help you. And sometimes helping you means telling you where you're fucking up. And I said, all right, well, you know, in Indiana, people are very nice, except for that part. Because in Indiana, like in the Midwest, people are so nice that if they see you driving toward a cliff, they would not be so rude as to tell you and warn you that you're about to drive off a cliff. That would just be rude, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And so I was telling Peter about this. And so he said, you know what, though? He said, blew out a clutch or something in his car, and it was freezing cold out.
Mm-hmm.
This is over the winter. And he said he's sitting on the side of the road for like 3 hours. People just passing him. He said like 5 different people stopped to ask him if they could help. Every single one of them were African American. The white people, he said, just kept driving. He said, old, young, male, female, stopped and asked him if they could help. And I said, I don't get it. I said, as much as we beat them down, they're still nice to us. And I told him, I said, that show, Don't Panic. I said, what kind of Afrophiles? I made that word up on the spot.
It's a good word.
So any black superhero we're in, you know? Pootie Tang.
Yeah, from Pootie Tang to Black Lightning.
And now there's another one, and I think I saw a couple episodes of this. But season 2 is coming up, and we're going to have to start getting ready.
Mm-hmm.
Luke Cage.
Sweet Christmas.
So I think I did see a couple episodes, although I'm trying to remember. Was it Luke Cage I was watching, or was it Kick-Ass or Badass or the one with Danny Trejo?
That's that? Badass.
Badass, right. So what is Luke Cage? Is he a hero, or is he a superhero? Is he a detective that plays by his own rules? What is Luke Cage exactly?
He's all of the above. Well, you're right. Season 2 is coming up pretty quickly, so you need to get on the binge wagon and watch season 1.
Perfect name for a bar in a college town.
Right? Luke Cage. Luke Cage is he's one of the original badasses. He's essentially John Shaft in a tiara. He's a hero for hire. He's a man who plays by his own rules. He has had a long comic book history at Marvel Comics. He's one of their earliest black superheroes. And last year they gave him his own series on Netflix. And it has the benefit of only being 13 episodes long. And even though Marvel's Netflix series tend to drag out something fierce, even at 13 episodes per season, this one is just a roller coaster from start to finish. You know, it's a fast storyline. He's basically falsely accused, goes to prison. They do experiments on him in prison to shorten his sentence. The warden hates him and sets him up to die in these experiments, but these experiments give him powers. And one of the powers is he's invulnerable. And that's really his major power. Well, he escapes from prison. The beauty of Luke Cage is you never know. We've never learned what his real name is. I thought it was a brilliant idea that here, you know, falsely accused black man. That could be any black man.
Yeah.
So they made it so. This is way back in the early 70s when they put him together. So I think that's just a brilliant idea that he created his own name. The Netflix series plays pretty close to the comic book series. If you liked Black Lightning, and I know you did, Luke Cage will, in different ways, hit you the same way. He, you know, he's not a single dad trying to raise his kids right. And, you know, he's just... He's on the run. He's he's forced into doing the right thing, and it's just it's an amazing series to watch. It delivers on all counts, just the same way that Black Lightning did
from season one. And I'm not worried about spoilers because it's my own damn fault if I haven't seen it. But what is one story about Luke Cage that sort of exemplifies who Luke Cage is?
The opening scene of episode two, when he's looking down at the memorial for Crispus Attucks, and some young street thug kid comes up behind him and puts a gun to his head and calls him the N-word. And
Nathan?
Yes, Nathan. Luke just loses it. And it was a defining moment in the series. It really, really defines his character.
Hold on. Kid comes up behind him, puts a gun to his head, calls him the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
Then what happens?
Luke turns around, explains to him why he shouldn't use that word, and takes the guy's gun out of his hand and shoots himself because he's invulnerable. And the bullet, of course, bounces off of him, and the street kid goes running off into the bushes somewhere.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So he shoots himself.
Yes. He's like, I don't have all night. It's been a long night. And he just takes the gun and shoots himself in the stomach, and it just bounces off of him. Freaks the kid out, and he takes off running.
That would freak me out.
Now, I'm on record as despising almost every single Marvel Netflix TV series. They are just so boring and so drawn out. But when I don't know why they got their shit right with Luke Cage, but they did. And it's well worth watching.
All right. Well, I'm going to watch it because I've been assigned it.
That's right. And I think the new season starts in about 2 weeks or 1 week, depending on when this episode airs.
Or last week,
depending on when you listen to it.
I don't have much time.
Okay, one more thing about Luke Cage. Now, it's a standalone series, but it is placed in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. You don't have to know beans about what's been going on in the movies, so you're not going to be lost in that regard. They touch on things, but nothing is so detrimental to the plot that you got to be like, well, I don't know what the hell they're talking about. And it's going to ruin everything for me. No, it's just so they can ground it in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Does Luke Cage wear action pants by Sansa Belt?
In the 70s, he did.
Because I'm wondering about his action zone.
Mm.
Now with extra large snack sack.
I wouldn't want to be Luke Cage's girlfriend for any number of reasons, one of which being his action zone.
Is it similar to Kenny Hertz?
Callback.
It's a long ass callback.
The thing I'll warn you about though about Luke Cage too is it's Netflix. So I don't know if you watched Black Lightning with your kids at all.
No.
But you might not want to watch Black Lightning with your kids around. Only because of the language, and there's a fair amount of nudity in episode one.
I'm on it.
I wouldn't mind being on it. I'll just leave it at that.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
So speaking of action pants, you know where I found that?
Where'd you find that?
Hashtag somebody put it on the page. So that was you actually that put that on the page.
that was me, yes.
Sansa Belt. Fantastic story about Sansa Belt who made those? Sansa Belt was by Joe Sam? No. One of the factories in town where people worked.
Oh, Jamar here in Michigan City. Jamar, yeah.
Yeah, all I know is my dad used to talk about factories. One of them was Joe Sam. One of them was Jamar Ruby. One of them was the one where your dad worked.
Yeah, Joy. Yeah.
Joy.
Yep.
It's like, I didn't know what any of them did, but I was like, well, everybody works at one of them.
Yeah. And I know that Jamar is still around. I don't, but Joy's been gone for 30 plus years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Now everybody works at the cookie factory.
Oh, yes.
Or at the outlet mall. Hey, this one fits in pretty well with the story I told earlier. It's hashtag put it on the page. For the parents out there, since we talk a lot about being dads, this one also from Paul Schultz back in March. Don't be so hard on yourself. Dora's mom lets her wander the streets with nothing but a monkey and a singing backpack. And she's turned out great. While Caillou's parents practically live in his butt crack, and he's currently the most irritating little bald ass bag in history. Your kids will be fine.
It is amazing how Caillou is universally despised by parents. He's the biggest, whiniest little... they talk to him too much. Sometimes you just don't need to tell your kids everything.
Although I tell my kids probably more than I should.
Well, it's like what you, every once in a while, when you're telling a story about your girls, you're like, this doesn't have to be a teachable moment. You know? Well, in Caillou, everything has to be a fucking teachable moment.
Yeah, I hear you. This one also from Paul Schultz. Hey, it's the Paul Schultz day.
He hangs out on that page a lot. I actually, you know what's funny? The Don't Panic group has become like my mini Facebook. I almost never post on my normal Facebook. It's all in here now. So,
well, it's because you know the people and you know that they're not asshats.
That's true. Well, some of them are, but they at least play along.
Yeah. Students get first-hand job experience. Students get first-hand job experience. Reminds me of my mom looking at my car and seeing how dirty it was. I said, yeah, I got to run it through a car wash or something. She's like, no, don't run it through one of those automatic ones. You need yourself a good old-fashioned hand job. I was like, yeah, you're probably right.
There's nothing like a good old-fashioned hand job.
I know, man. Nothing does it like a hand job. All right. Well, we're a little bit short on time, but maybe we should wrap it up. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Do us a favor. Go over to Apple Podcasts and give us a rating. If you don't do that, go to YouTube, go to wherever. You can check us out on don'tpanicradioshow.com. You have anything else you want to add?
I'm still hung up on hand jobs.
I always say about hand jobs, never put any effort out to get somebody else to do something that you know you'd be better at doing yourself.
Yeah.
So with that, I'm going to wrap it up. Thanks for listening. For Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Vinson. Nothing you just heard was true. Hashtag put it on the page. Hashtag give us a rating. Hashtag send us your tales from the dad side story. God, we have a bunch of pricks for listeners. They never do anything we ask them to do.
Did you stop recording?
Oh, not yet. Okay. I probably should.
That's what we keep inside our minds. That's what we keep inside our minds. We'll be right back. what we keep inside our heads. But it doesn't matter. You're just information. That's what we keep inside our heads.